This is the Cane's Corner Podcast with host Adam Gold, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Now here's the host of the Cane's Corner Podcast, Adam Gold.
Welcome to your morning after. Adam Gold. We'll be joined by Alec Campbell in just a little bit as the Hurricanes win a kind of a wild game in Buffalo, 5-4 in overtime. You can't tell me that momentum isn't real. I know there are people that argue that there is no such thing as momentum, but I think you can see it. You can see it in energy. You can see it in confidence. So I think the momentum does matter. And the Hurricanes used momentum, I guess, to their advantage for most of the game. And obviously, you don't get momentum going overtime. Buffalo should have had that. But I guess the end of a period and a little bit of a break kind of steals that momentum away. Anyway, let's talk about what we saw tonight. And we'll start with momentum. Then we'll run down the scoring. And then we'll bring in Alec Campbell. So here's where I thought the momentum really swung in the game. Buffalo leads 1-0. Jeff Skinner, because, of course, staked them to a 1-0 lead. Really nice shot past Peter Mrazek across the grain for a 1-0 lead early. And then Buffalo goes on the power play. And Buffalo's got a good power play. It struggled of late, but they're still top five in the NHL. And they've got a loaded unit. And Carolina, who has been better of late killing penalties, got a big kill because of Peter Mrazek. Mrazek was dynamite. I think he made 3 saves in the power play. It looked like it might have been more. But that was the momentum stealer. Turned the game, I think, and gave Carolina a little bit of a breath. And then Jordan Staal comes in with his 100th goal as a Hurricane. And here's the interesting thing. Obviously, in the grand pantheon of Jordan Staal goals, this will not be considered the blistered wrist shot from the high slot. It was a shot that was blocked, came right back to him, and he sort of chipped at it, I guess, and it just floated over everybody. And I know they joked on TV that it was a 3-point shot with Warren Fogle going to the basket. So I thought Warren played a pretty good, pretty solid game tonight, and that net front presence clearly bothered Carter Hutton. Then later in the period on the power play, Sebastian Aho in the high slot with Eric Halla right out in front, and Teuvo Teravainen directed a pass off the stick of Aho and in. It was 2-1. First shift of the second period, Carolina continues the momentum. I thought Carolina was the much better team in the last 10 minutes of the first period. First shift of the second period was a thing of beauty. Aho, Teravainen, and Svechnikov doing incredible work. Forecheck, Slavin, and Hamilton also great on the same shift. And eventually, the puck goes in. Aho, it looked like it was Aho's goal, but it looked like on replay that as he was sweeping the puck in, it looked like the puck hit Teuvo Teravainen's stick on the way. So it's Teravainen's goal. Aho and Svechnikov with the assist. It was 3-1. And Carolina was continuing to push and had plenty of opportunities to make it 4 or even 5-1, but couldn't get another one past Carter Hutton. And then Hayden Fleury with, 5 or so minutes left in the third period. Actually, it was at 15:04 of the third. Well, this obviously happened a couple of seconds before. Fleury, sort of a bouncing puck, you think, was at the blue line at the left point and took a wild swing, and he didn't get it past Curtis Lazar. Puck was blocked, goes out to center, and Lazar takes it in. He's playing his first NHL game of the year. Takes it in and beats Mrazek. It's 3-2, and now Buffalo's got the momentum, and I thought the last 25 minutes of the game really belonged to the Sabres, even though Carolina got a power play goal to put him back in front 4-3 from Andrei Svechnikov. Buffalo scored, 2 times in the third to eventually send the game to overtime. Jeff Skinner got 2 on the night. Actually, they didn't give him the third goal, the tying goal. It went to Johan Larsson, who got a stick on it, deflected it past Mrazek to make it 4-4 and force the overtime. But during the 4-game losing streak the Carolina had, mistakes were the key. And even the game against the Rangers that everybody admits was a great game played offensively by Carolina, and they threw a ton of shots at Henrik Lundqvist, mistakes killed them in that game. And mistakes were kind of the killer tonight. With a 3-2 lead in the third, you're at the end of a long shift. Brett Pesce has the puck, plenty of space, and they're trying to get it out, and Pesce makes a pretty good pass right on the tape of Ryan Dzingel. Maybe it had too much steam, who knows. Anyway, Dzingel couldn't handle the pass. It goes off his stick right to Henry Jokiharju, and he beats Mrazek. It's 3-3. Then after Svechnikov puts the Hurricanes ahead again with a power play goal. Dougie Hamilton had a chance to clear the zone. His clearing attempt was deflected. It stays in. Nino Niederreiter toward the blue line had a chance to chip it out, but tries to settle the puck and take it up the ice. And because you know what? Goal scoring is a drug. But ultimately, all they really needed was for Nino to backhand the puck out of harm's way. It stays in Carolina's defensive zone. Ultimately, Skinner ends up with the puck on a sharp angle. He shoots it at the net, and Larson deflects it. Johan Larson deflects it past and just kind of trickles through Mrazek. And with 41 seconds left, we're tied, and we're going to overtime where it's anybody's game. In overtime, though, Carolina was the better team. They had the better chances. And with Martin Natchez kind of slowly bringing the puck up ice, you could tell. And then all of a sudden, boom, the burst. Natchez had not only showed the burst to create the play, but he showed the patience to not just fling a shot at the net. And he was patient enough. I know he lost the puck going across in front of the goal, but he was hounded defensively. But he made a nice play to Dougie Hamilton, who ripped it through. And that's your 5-4 win. So Hurricanes have now won two games in a row. Andrei Svechnikov, a goal and two assists. Teuvo Teravainen, a goal and two assists. Hamilton and Aho, each with a goal and an assist. And Svechnikov and Hamilton now with 21 points each lead the Hurricanes in scoring. Teravainen's got 18. Aho's got 15 points. Hamilton and Aho lead the team each with 9 goals. So it's 4 points, right, in the last two games for Aho. I thought he was very good tonight. He was one of my 3 stars after a very, very rough start. I thought Sebastian played a very good game. I thought for the first 10 minutes, Sebastian was kind of wandering about, and Jack Eichel was getting the better of him, but I thought the rest of the game was the Sebastian Aho we want to see. Natchez made the play on the Hamilton goal. I thought Natchez played a really solid game, and you know Rod Brind'Amour is going to be talking about 2 defensive plays that he made really on the same shift to nullify a scoring chance where he rotated back. Those are the types of things that get you ice time with Rod Brind'Amour, and I don't think it's a coincidence that Natchez was on the ice in 3-on-3. I know how talented he is, but you earned that right based on the defensive play that you make during the course of the game, and I thought he was really good in the defensive zone. Chippy game, but I'm not against the chippy game. I enjoy seeing it. And special teams was the key for the Hurricanes. 2-for-3 on the power play, holding Buffalo without a power play goal in 3 tries. And then the account 3-on-3 as special teams to an extent. Of course, 5-on-6 would also be special teams. Didn't work out as well, but the Hurricanes were the better team. 3-on-3. Aftermath and Stormwatch host Alec Campbell, who I spend 3.5 hours a day on the radio with anyway, as we recap an odd game. You and I are both golfers. We pretend to be. PGA, right. The PGA Tour has a stat. It's called bounce back. What you do in holes following a bogey or worse for us. Canes were really good tonight, I thought, in that stat. They bounced back from a lot of, I'm not going to say misfortune, because I think they made some mistakes, but I thought they recovered well tonight. I was impressed with that element.
Yeah, they went down 1-0, and then they came back, and they took a 2-1 lead, and then they took a 3-1 lead, and then they let that go, and then they took a 4-3 lead, and then they gave that up, and then they won in overtime. So, you know, they overcame some deficits, or a deficit, and then, you know, had to overcome basically giving up the lead. I thought, you know, if not for the way the Hurricanes gave up their lead, this game I thought was going to be a pretty run-of-the-mill stock hockey game, to be honest with you. I mean, it was 3-1. The Hurricanes had the lead in the third period. You know, I felt like they had made a couple of mistakes. Peter Mrazek had made a couple of big saves throughout the game. But for the most part, like, there wasn't anything that real exciting that happened until the Hurricanes decided to give up the lead and let the game get to overtime. So I guess from an entertainment standpoint, maybe it delivered, because otherwise it would have just been another hockey game in another, you know, in another city to start a road trip. But I thought the Hurricanes really, it was their mistakes that gave up all those goals. I mean, even the first goal, which I think was the most passable goal for Buffalo, I didn't think they gapped up very well. I thought Hayden Fleury, you know, kind of left Connor Sheary to go retrieve the puck along the boards, and Lucas Walmark wasn't really gapped up well with Skinner behind him, and Skinner had too much time and space, you know. And then there was Hayden Fleury, who's got to get the puck through there, and then Ryan Dzingel, who's calling for the puck, Pesci gives it to him, and he doesn't handle it, right in a terrible spot. And then, you know, so there were those types of situations tonight that came back to bite the Hurricanes, and fortunate for them, they were able to score enough goals to overcome it.
You know, it's interesting. When Rod talks about you make your breaks and you get what you deserve, and you don't always get what you deserve in sports, but I thought tonight, even though Carolina made the mistakes, and certainly the Pesci pass to Dzingel was right on his tape, he should have handled it, and neither player was under pressure at that point. So, you know, that's just an error on the part of Dzingel. But Buffalo was the better team, I thought, throughout the third period. And I thought this was a weird game for momentum in that, you know, Buffalo carried the play in the first 10 minutes, and I thought the first penalty kill by Carolina when Mrazek was great, I thought changed the momentum of the game, and then you get the fluky stall goal to draw even, and you're like, wow, Carolina hasn't really played well yet, but all of a sudden this game is even, and then I thought they were the better team for like the next 25 or so minutes. But then the last 25 minutes of the Buffalo was better. Started with the Fleury mistake at the blue line. But from that point on, I thought Buffalo carried the play, and it almost seemed like an inevitability that they were going to tie the game.
Yeah, they were definitely putting on the third period push. And I think you look across a lot of the numbers, the Hurricanes were outshot tonight. They were outchanced tonight. They were out high danger tonight. So Buffalo made their push. I agree with you. The first period, I thought, was, you know, 10 minutes of them. Jack Eichel had one, you know, point blank on Peter Mrazek in the first couple of minutes of the game. So Peter had to be on his P's and Q's early. And you're right, the Hurricanes took control of it after that for a little while, and then they came back with the push in the third. Rod didn't really like the second half of the game from the Hurricanes tonight. So, you know, and I thought going into this game, I look at these two teams pretty similarly. You know, I mean, both teams have some pretty good players. I think, you know, Buffalo might be in a little bit more of a rebuild situation, although it feels like they've been in a rebuild forever.
Right.
But they have some high-end talent. Their goaltending may not be there all the time. But the way these two teams have played this season, they've been eerily similar. I mean, hot starts and then slumps, and they both have a similar record. They were both in the same place in their respective divisions coming into tonight. I didn't think this game was going to be a walk in the park for the Hurricanes to begin with. So I'm not surprised at what happened tonight. but the Hurricanes needed to get that one to try to build some momentum here at the beginning of this road trip, because they hadn't been very good on the road. And, you know, you look at the standings right now, and I talked with John about this in the aftermath, and they came into tonight like 12 points behind Washington, yeah. 6 points behind the Islanders, which doesn't, you know, 6 points from second place doesn't feel like a lot, but it is a lot. And you're playing against the Buffalo team who, coming into tonight, you know, if you were coming down the stretch right now in the season, you would be trying to fend them off for a wild card spot. And so these head-to-head matchups matter. And so that's why I think it was a big win for the Canes tonight.
Oh, it's a huge win in a number of reasons. And again, I really think that the fact that this team showed some battle and some resilience, where, you know, we haven't necessarily seen a lot of that from this team over the last 3 or 4 weeks. I think we saw a lot of that early on in the season, but over the last, you know, 3 or 4 weeks, I don't believe we have. But yeah, I mean, look, the Islanders have, what have they won, 11 in a row, 12-0-1 in their last 13. I think the Capitals have a similar record, you know, similar stretch here. I mean, those two teams are absolutely on fire. Of course, Carolina has wins over both of them this year, for whatever that matters. But Carolina had four players with multiple points tonight. Svechnikov and Teravainen each had a goal and two assists. Of course, Turbo kind of stole a goal from Aho, but that's fine. And right. Hamilton and Aho each had a goal and an assist. I thought all four of those players were outstanding. What do you think Rod Brind'Amour is going to remember more about Martin Natchez's game tonight? The play he made 3-on-3 in the overtime to set up Hamilton, or the handful of really good defensive plays that he made?
Yeah, I mean, I think Natchez is probably going to be the poster boy for what Rod continues to preach. And actually, I think if you look across that Svech, Aho, Teravainen line, they will be too, because that was a line who had 8 points tonight.
Yep.
I know, you know, a couple of those goals came on the power play, but they were all on the same power play unit.
Yep.
Too. So might as well just, you know, call it 8 points for the line. But Natchez, I think, you know, he's being rewarded for the work that he's doing defensively and away from the puck, because kind of quietly, while a lot of the attention goes towards Teuvo Teravainen and Sebastian Aho and Andrei Svechnikov right now, you know, Marty Natchez has 7 points in his last 7 games.
Yeah.
And it's not just tonight that he's made a bunch of great defensive plays. It's been over the course of the last bunch of games that he's been doing it. So, you know, Rod always loves the process more. His philosophy is, if you do all the little things, you know, you're going to get to the goal scoring. You know, he knows Natchez can score goals. Natchez knows he can score goals.
Right.
But, you know, it's the other things in the team game that you have to be willing to do. And I think it's best illustrated by what happened, you know, in the 2 games against Ottawa, where, I mean, there's absolutely no reason you lose to Ottawa on the road, except right. for the fact that you just simply didn't want to dig in and play a team game that's respectable. And you saw what they did when they did do that at home on the second night of the home and home. So, you know, Rod, everything he, to me, I mean, look, I mean, I don't know. It just seems like he knows what he's talking about, right? And it just feels right. like everything he says sort of comes to fruition. So, and I agree with him. I am on board with his entire philosophy about the way the game is played, because I think it crosses over to a lot of different sports too, the mentality of it all. And so, yeah, he's going to love the Natchez defense, and he's going to say, see what happens
exactly.
when you do the yep. little things that I tell you to do, you end up coming up with game-winning plays.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, look, I thought that was the key to Aho against Ottawa on Monday, and Aho got back to that, I thought, after the first 10 minutes of the game, because he was sluggish at the start, but he certainly got back to it. Yes, we all worship at the altar of Rod.
It's just he makes everything seem so simple. It all makes so sense. It's not a bunch of just hockey gobbledygook jargon.
Right.
You know, it's just straight up, like, sensible stuff, and it makes perfect sense, and there's no reason to make it any more difficult or complicated than it is. And that's what I like about it so much.
Yeah, me too. All right, so this team now goes to Minnesota. It's an afternoon game. I know when we talked to John today, he was talking possibly about James Reimer on Saturday. I'm not feeling that. The Hurricanes need to string wins together. I think they're at a point in the year and a place in the standings where I think you're going to end up seeing Mrazek again, unless he sustained an injury when he was down on the ice. That's going to hold him out. That might be too sore, because I know it's sort of a quicker turnaround because the game is Saturday at 2 as opposed to a Saturday night game. But I think Mrazek goes on Saturday.
Yeah, and John reiterated the fact that he thinks you give Reimer the start on Saturday and go back to Mrazek in Chicago when we talked on the aftermath. I mean, I guess I can understand the logic both ways. I guess it's still early enough in the season that you got to figure out what you got in Reimer, or maybe you know what you got. I don't know. I can't decide how I feel on it all. But on the other hand, it's like you do have a day off tomorrow. I mean, I know that Peter Mrazek was tested a little bit tonight, but, you know, he's a professional athlete.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got a day off tomorrow. Get back after it on Saturday. It shouldn't be that big of a deal. And I do agree that this stretch of games right now, I think these are important games. I think this is an important stretch of the season. You know, and I know they're going to play teams that, you know, aren't in their conference or in their division or whatever. But, you know, you got to get points together. And this team needs to get a little bit of momentum back, I think, after going on the losing streak they did, especially considering what's going on in their own division right now. So, you know, play to win, but I guess the risk you take is if you don't play Reimer anytime soon, when does he play? And then the next time he plays, what are you going to get out of him if he hasn't played in a while?
I know this is going to sound like a hot take, but I don't think that should be a concern. James Reimer is a professional. He'll be ready to go whenever he's called on.
Right
now, this team needs to put their best goaltender on the ice as long.
I mean, if
it was a back-to-back, I get it, and I understand it's a quicker turnaround, but I still think Mrazek, I actually think he will play on Saturday. I think they have reached a point in the season where they are in the standings where they need to do that. So
John Forsen has said the same thing in the past, that, you know, he's a backup goaltender. And unfortunately, the role of the backup goaltender is to be able to go in and play well when called upon.
Right.
And that's just the nature of the beast. So I agree with you that, you know, your biggest goal right now is to win games. So whoever you think gives you the best chance to do that, you should go with. And right now, that's clearly Peter Mrazek.
Yeah, and I also wouldn't be surprised if the next goaltender that starts, not named Peter Mrazek, is named Alex Nedeljkovic, who is starting to play really well in Charlotte. So I could see Peter going on Saturday afternoon, and even though there's an extra day, wouldn't be completely shocked if Ned had the net in Chicago when the checkers are off for a little bit. All right, man, you get some rest. We have radio to do tomorrow.
Yay!
You've been listening to the Canes Corner Podcast with Adam Gold. Don't forget there are many ways you can listen to this podcast, including streaming at WRALSportsFan.com, the WRAL SportsFan app, and you can also subscribe for free at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Pocket Casts, and TuneIn. Thanks again for listening to the Canes Corner Podcast.